Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, and welcome to Having a Ball podcast. Today we are talking about the girls want to go to a nightclub, which is the first originally aired episode of this season.
Yeah, it aired on the 15th of October, which is 1951, known as I Love Lucy Day, since then. And like you said, it was the original one was supposed to be Lucy thinks Ricky is trying to murder her.
A lot of people think it's because of production problems, but the production team, along with the actors and actresses, decided that the antics at the end of this episode were just so funny that it should be the first one to air. And it really caused Desi Arnaz a lot of stress and problems. You know, he had so much riding on this, and the whole switch to have this one be the first one created a lot of extra stress, more time for them to have to get everything right. You know, they had less time to do it, but they thought to get it out. They did have some sound glitches, but that wasn't the reason that they aired this one first.
Yeah, it's interesting you point out, you know, that it had the most antics, maybe the funniest ending of it, because, you know, once we get into the episode, towards the end, Lucy, in particular, shows her comedic abilities.
My goodness. So physical.
So it's so great to be your introductory episode to show you what she does from here on out. This is what you're going to get. It's not your typical comedy, but here's really an introduction to who Lucy was and how she can transform to these characters.
Wrong. Ricky hates nightclubs.
But he works in one. Your life should be just one gay round of nightclubs.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I married a band leader. But ever since we said I do, there are so many things we don't.
So here's a little synopsis of this episode. It's the Mertz's 18th wedding anniversary, and the girls want to attend the nightclub, while the boys prefer an evening at the fights. The quartet decide to celebrate separately, the men and the women. To teach their husbands a lesson, Lucy and Ethel appear in disguise as Ricky and Fred's dates for the evening.
Yeah, even it feels like it goes, maybe because I've seen it so many times, but it feels like it goes really fast, this episode.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Like it flies by. But yeah, the synopsis, like you said, was the Mertz's 18th wedding anniversary. Although when you go to kind of the inconsistency trivia part of it, somehow along the line, it's 25 years of marriage. So somewhere they dropped the ball in the years.
Two. So in the original script, it was 24 years of marriage, and then they changed it to 18. But then in season two, it was back to 25. So it's like they should have kept it with 24.
Right.
But there's just inconsistencies, and that happens in every show. But that is an interesting one right out of the gate, right? Before we talk specifically about this episode, right? Do you have any friends that you'd be like, yes, I want you to be a part of my wedding anniversary? Like celebration on the day of my wedding anniversary?
Well, you know, I've done parties, let's say gatherings to celebrate, let's say a big number. You know, 18 is kind of random, but I don't know if I've ever done where we all decided to go to a nightclub or perhaps go to the fights. But I can see it maybe doing like a dinner thing, but typically it's just the two of you.
Yeah, I was like, well, maybe it was more common back then.
Reminds me of like later on the Lucy and Ricky anniversary where they're trying to throw a surprise party and they're in the closet.
Okay, one other question. All right, what is definitely after COVID? You know, what is your ideal like anniversary night? Please don't say going to the fights.
Because there will be one if that's the plan, going to a fight. Although,
I mean, maybe not with me, just your husband. No.
That's true. You know, I'm very simple. I'm you know, a nice dinner and an at-home movie. I mean, I cannot get much more boring than that, but there's a reason why. It's just maybe COVID has conditioned us to find that as entertaining as can possibly be, but I find that nice. I don't know. I'm not the nightclub type of person. You know, I don't party per se. Maybe I should start, you know, now just kind of like celebrate pre-COVID life, but I mean post-COVID life, but no. Yeah. No. Dinner and a movie.
Yeah.
How about you?
We well, our anniversary is in the summer. So ideally I would love to take my child to their grandparents and
you could just stop there. They just stop there.
Oh my goodness. But no. Like an Airbnb at like, you know, just camping, like a simple camping.
Oh, nice.
Night.
Okay.
That would be ideal for me. We haven't been camping since the, you know, well, yeah. I was pregnant and then COVID hit. So it was like,
oh, you really haven't gone out for a while.
Right. I was sick and then really pregnant and then COVID hit. So we had about, after my pregnancy, we had maybe a month of normalcy before, like after I gave birth, before everything shut down. And so, yeah, we didn't go out. We haven't gone out in a long time. So that would be my ideal.
Well, here's the thing too. I think it also has to do with the amount of years we're talking about. I mean,
true. If this you're is our second one, like it's not that big. I mean, it is a big thing, but it's
well,
not.
No, see, your celebration would be a lot more than mine, because mine's coming up. It'd be the 12th wedding anniversary. And so it's kind of like, when I say dinner, I mean like somebody else cooking the dinner.
Yes. Oh, that's very important. No.
Cater it or bring it to me. I'm not going to be slaving away in the kitchen, you know, and then.
All right. Well, on your 18th, I'll come up and we can go to a nightclub.
Okay.
For the fights.
Or dress up to do both. Yeah.
All right. Into this episode.
Okay, what I like the way it opens up is you have Lucy and Ethel washing dishes, which I love because it establishes the image of your typical American housewife.
Important for that.
Mm-hmm. Lucy's wearing an apron, her hair is up in a bonnet. Now keep in mind at this time, Lucille Ball was already a star, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was known. So they really had to, you know, dress her down because she was already glamour Lucille. So her in a bonnet, apron, just really brought home the point that she's a housewife.
Yeah. I do find it interesting. This might just be me, but I found that Ethel was a bit more dolled up in this. But she seemed to be, like in later episodes, you'll see that Lucy usually almost outshines her in like makeup and costume, like, you know, and what she's wearing.
Right.
But Ethel seems to, maybe it's like the apron or house coat that Lucy has on that just kind of like really makes it seem like she's, you know.
Just a frumpy housewife.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a frumpy housewife. Yeah.
But I have to say that looks really comfortable. I was like, I want one of those.
You mean the bonnet or the apron?
The apron, like that button down, like apron house dress
kind of
thingy.
Kind of fluffy. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really comfy for like a winter day. Anyways. Yeah. So there's two things. One, you know, when she's washing dishes and she says, you know, you missed something. And she's like, there's a thing of gravy.
Right. She's trying to like scrape it off with her nail to see if all the food has come off the plates.
Yeah. That is their first mistake. Because that pattern, I don't know if you've seen that pattern, but the ivy pattern that's well known for their plates in this this show doesn't have flowers. There are no flowers on the plate, just a ring of ivy around the outside. And so when she says, you know, flowers with a
backdrop of gravy, right.
There was no flowers. So it really should have been something wrong if you thought there was a flower on the plate.
Right. Oh my gosh. And I think that's during their dishwashing session is when they start discussing the Mertz's wedding anniversary and what they want to do. And then Ethel says she's always wanted to go to a nightclub and asks if Ricky and Lucy would join them. And what's funny is that Lucy then, of course, says Ricky hates nightclubs. And she says, well, what are you talking about? He works in one. Your life should just be one, fun night of nightclubs, night after night. And then the famous
This
line
line, oh
that,
my
right?
goodness.
This is Jess Oppenheimer's favorite line of dialogue. Ever since we say I do, so many things we don't.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where it's kind of like wink, wink to the audience. Make of that line what you will. What do they mean by we don't? But it was funny.
Yeah, and it's Jess Oppenheimer said that it was he thought one of the funniest lines in the entire series, just because it talks about how married life talks about married life in a deep way. And I get it. I get it. There's just like so many dreams and so many things that like
Do you want to turn
we'll
this
do
into a
that.
therapy session? I mean, I'll listen to you
Yes. All right.
if
No,
Do you have
no.
milk? I mean, because this is
Oh,
a throwback
goodness.
to our. I mean, we learned this in an earlier episode.
Just how will our ratings go if we sit here drinking milk, talking about our problems?
God. Just getting drunk
Oh,
on milk.
no. Okay. So there's the super sarcastic lines where, Ethel goes, "It's my 18 wedding anniversary." And Lucy goes, "Oh, you and Fred?" And she's like, "No, me and Gregory Peck." Which, first of all, whoa, sarcasm just right out the gate. But this is also the first celebrity to be mentioned in I Love Lucy.
And she delivers that line with such a serious look on her face.
Yes.
In the kitchen, she's like, "No, me and Gregory Peck." She's just like over her marriage. She's been over her marriage.
Yeah. He's mentioned two other times in the whole series, and he wasn't opposite. He never acted opposite Lucille Ball, but they were in several award shows, tributes, and variety programs together.
Yeah, I
So
can think
that's
of one
another thing.
time when his name was mentioned, and that's when they're at the Brown Derby, and they,
Hollywood at last.
yes, and they say, telephone for Gregory Peck, and
Yes.
her and Ethel jump up, where? Yeah, and I
Yeah.
think then Fred gets his, who's the actress that Rita
Ava
Hayworth,
Gardner.
Ava Gardner,
Oh my
yeah.
goodness, he loved Ava Gardner. But who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? All right. So you hear Lucy and Ethel planning their,
Nightclub out,
nightclub
nightclub
out and
night.
how they're gonna get the guys to, be
Agree to
okay with
go.
that. We'll sweeten them up. Will be real nice to them. And then on the flip side, you see the exact same thing happening about going to a night or the fights. And I just find it so funny that Lucy is like, or Ricky is like, "Well, it's your anniversary.
Right.
You
You
can't
know
have
what
it
I
just be one person's anniversary."
Well, and because it's the man in the 50s, then I guess it's his choice. What I love about that scene, it cuts to them, Fred and Ricky talking in the living room. He's on the couch. And as we spoke of Lucy being dressed as a typical American housewife, with the apron, he's always dressed in a tux or a suit and tie to kind of establish, not only the typical American husband, but the successful typical American husband. Because most of the scenes that he's in, he's always looking sharp, looking dapper, looking like he's going somewhere when he's just watching television or reading the paper. So I always found that interesting that he's always dressed up. So they're discussing that they should go to Charlie's Steakhouse and then take in the fights.
And actually, they as I was looking up information about this episode, it was mentioned that, it's just as important as it was to establish Lucy as a typical American housewife, it was just as important to make Desi someone that was, kind of down to earth American husband. And so that's why they had him like so interested in the fights. You know, that's like an American thing to be interested in.
And my take on it too is I think because it was such a controversy to put this, you know, Latin man in the forefront of the television show, he couldn't just be, I don't know, a construction worker, a you know, working with his hands, a cook or something like that. They really, I feel, needed to show his how superior he was to Lucy, and how successful he came across, again, with the way his wardrobe always kind of indicated that, always in a tux, always in a suit and tie, hair slicked back, always, you know, kind of presented that you were lucky to be around him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I definitely get that. He's the best dressed of the four of them most of the time.
Always. Yeah.
So, you know, they get together, they finally get together, and they're just, you know, whenever they're being sweet, either, you know, the girls, the guys, or the guys, there's always chaos that's going to come from that. They're never just meant to just be sweet, you know?
Yeah, it's a frequent theme that the reason, the plan of action of being sweet and, you know, kind of smushing them over is because somebody wants something, especially if Fred is being nice to Ethel and vice versa. There's something in the works.
Yes. And I love that Fred and Ethel's trying to be nice to each other turns into fighting.
Yeah.
You know, where they're, you know, Ricky sits down and like has Lucy sit on his lap and the other two are fighting. And Fred is just like, just sit down, just listen to me.
Okay. The romance is gone.
Yeah. And then after that is where you see their first big smoke scene. It is very rare to see Ethel and Fred smoking on screen. The other two smoke quite a bit, but I don't know very many times where the other two smoke from then on.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was probably a point to have Lucille and Desi smoking on camera, but when it came to William and Vivian, you hardly ever saw that. Maybe when it was like a gag and you knew it was a gag, but other than that, yeah, they hardly ever did, especially Fred. I don't remember him smoking.
That correlates greatly with the fact that, you know, Vivian and William Frawley were not actual smokers. They didn't smoke very, very much off screen, and we all know that Lucy and Desi did.
Oh yes,
they were both very avid smokers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you notice that there were a bunch of like close-ups that were really kind of crystal clear in this first episode?
Yes, I did, especially during, you know, later on in the episode when they're dressed up as the other characters that they pretend to be. Yes, there was a lot of up close, and I don't think they did that later on.
No, you know, they ended up cutting that.
Yeah, it was very unusual. It was very like right in your face, especially who was it? Ethel's face was very much up close a lot.
Yes, and so I was reading up on this, and production wise, they said, you know, they had to do this a lot of time, those shots after the audience left, you know, caused more time delays. But also they kind of just stuck out a lot. It's like watching it and then boom, oh, crystal clear, like just close up. And they wanted it to all kind of be the same throughout the board.
Yeah, I think it makes sense with it being like the first few episodes that they're kind of testing, trial and error. And that was an error.
Yes. Did you notice that there are a few? I went past this on accident, but when Lucy and Ethel are in the kitchen talking about their plot, you see camera equipment off to the right of the screen.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And then when Fred and Ricky are in the living room, they're over by the desk and they're kind of laughing and, you know, coming up with their plan. In the right, the lower right corner, you see the mic or the camera again. So that's interesting. But, you know, this was aired live. So if they moved too fast or if the camera wasn't able to keep up with them, sometimes you'd get, you know, these
little extra equipment shots.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of goes to what their signature filming style was, which is the one shot, no retakes, you know, what they were known for. So that kind of, you're going to get things like that. And YouTube is filled with those bloopers and trivia of the, did you see that, you know, the other room when it's supposed to be like on set and then there's the kitchen behind it. Yes. You know, so I think you get a lot of those.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. I love catching those, not because I want to like point out flaws, just because, you know, it was a lot.
I think it's fun. It's just an
interesting tidbit, you know? Okay, I love when Lucy and Ricky kind of start fighting about Ethel.
It's like they're fighting for them. They're fighting for them. Yeah, so they're trying to, so Lucy and Ricky start arguing over the destination of their anniversary celebration. And then, you know, it's kind of like a ping pong tennis match type of thing where they're looking back and forth as to who's taking the turn to speak. You got Fred and Ethel in the middle going back and forth. Lucy's getting upset and she says, "You brought this on yourself. Ethel wants a divorce."
Yes, and Ethel's like, "No, she doesn't. No, I don't.
No, I don't." And Fred's face is priceless because it's hilarious how out of hand this guy just trying to decide where to go. They announced that they will be going to a nightclub with other dates as a bluff.
I love when she whispers the names in her ear. Yes. And Ethel goes, "What names did you whisper after Ricky and Fred leave?" And she's like, "It sounded like Little Boy Blue and Peter Cottontail. She's like, "Yep, that's who it was."
So Ethel's thinking that she's got these two hot dates, and Lucy's like, "No, I'm just trying to make the boys jealous." But then my next one of my favorite lines is when she's like, they're trying to think of men to take out to kind of make the husbands jealous. "We must know two men who are single and attractive."
Two men who are single.
Two men. A boy and his a boy and his dog. Nothing. They know no one.
They know no one. It's so sad.
Although, if you can ramble off men that you can just take, you know, to make your husband jealous, I don't know if that means you're social or I don't know.
Social. Handed out a lot of milk.
Oh, no. God. If you haven't heard that episode yet, you're totally lost as to why we keep referencing milk, but it's in the Desi Arnaz profile.
Yep, listen to it. Now, then you'll understand. Maybe.
Maybe.
I just have to say that these books, I don't think, I mean, address books in general are not common anymore.
But yeah, Little Black Books.
When you look back at shows, Little Black Books, the idea of those books where you just kind of have backup people, you know, it's common. You see it in like the Andy Griffith Show, Bewitched, you know, this show. And I'm like, I don't have...
You don't
a
have a little
of people in my phone. Then, you know, well, like,
get to it, Ziva. I mean,
is there a Little Black Book app for my phone? Like,
number one, who to call in case I'm trying to make my husband jealous?
Oh no, I don't have that. No, nope.
That's funny. No, I no. It's kind of good that they didn't, though. But here's the I guess the bizarre part of it, because then they, you know, since they announced that they were going to have dates, they did this in front of the boys. The boys get mad and they leave. So then they cut to, you know, the Mertz's apartment and Rick and Fred.
It's the first time you see their apartment. Sorry. Right. That's it. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Point that out.
So then they're speaking about the fact that their wives are going to go out with these other men. And what's neat, I guess, is that it kind of sets up how each of the men feel about their spouses, because
Fred
Ricky's like Ricky's kind of like jealous and sweating at the idea, and it's really bothering him. And Fred's like, say less. Say less, you know.
We're going to have such a good time without them.
Right. And so the women then call Ginny Jones to set up dates, which it's Ginny, G-I-N-N-Y, but I can't help but think of Jenny Jones, the talk show host. Back in the 90s, I don't know if you're old enough to know what Jenny Jones is, but I am. So I'm just going to leave that at that because I just aged myself quite a bit. Moving on. Okay. Whoopsie. Ginny Jones.
I do have something to say about Ginny Jones. But before we do, I love that Ricky burned his address book. And I love that it's because Lucy said it was part of a marriage.
Are you trying to tell me that
marriage ceremony?
Are you trying to tell me that it's not? Because I'm very much okay with your husband burning his little black book. Is that just me? No. I don't know.
Oh, man. Thankfully, my husband doesn't have one, or I would have used that too.
Yeah. It's part of the law in America. To get married, you have to burn your little black book.
So Jenny, you know, she's not a character that we ever hear about again.
No.
And we never see, but she works at the Starlight Roof. So this, you know, it's really fun when they kind of mention things. This was located on the 19th floor of the Waldorf Astoria. And we'll see it again in one of my favorite episodes, which is the Maharajas of Frankenstein.
Oh, yes.
When she's the Maharajas of Frankenstein and the publicity agent. And then when her high school or her school friend is trying to get money from her, and Lucy is envious. And so we get to see the Starlight room a few times, but we don't see Ginny ever. And I do want to mention, we kind of brushed past this, and I kind of forgot to mention it, but the girls want to go, that's not where they want to go, they want to go to Copacabana.
The Copacabana, yes,
which was opened in 1940, 10 East 60th Street. It had Brazilian decor. Listen to this. I don't know if you know this. I did not, but it had Brazilian decor, Latin themed orchestra, and the menu was Chinese food.
What? Mm-hmm. Wait, who put that together?
It featured Chinese food. I was like, okay. The club was known for its chorus line of Copacabana girls who had pink hair and elaborate sequin costumes, mink panties and brassieres and fruited turbans. And this is kind of something that we see Lucy dress up in quite similarly in Be a Pal, which is the next episode. And then the Copacabana, they bring it up again in the Lucy show. But that's just a little background on where they wanted to go for the night.
Right. So then when they call up Ginny Jones, of course, they then find out that their husband's called first because Ricky knows of Ginny Jones. And this Ginny Jones just knows everybody, I guess, because she has men and women just at the ready for jealousy purposes.
Yeah.
For dates or escorts.
She seems like an escort woman, like a less, you know, a less scandalous escort version.
Right. And so, of course, that gives Lucy the opportunity to say, tell Ricky and Fred that you will set them up with dates, but of course it's going to be them. Yes. And so they're very excited. The men are about a mother-daughter duo that's coming to visit. Although I don't think she sells it as a mother-daughter duo. They find out later. But what I love about the scene when they do show up, which, you know, as Ma and Eunice, Ma being Ethel and Eunice being the daughter, or being Lucy, the daughter, is as soon as they open up the door and they're dressed from head to toe in what I can only describe as a hillbilly disguise is what they call it. You know, with the glasses and the frumpy clothes and, you know, although in my opinion, very bad disguises because you can immediately tell who they are, but your imagination is supposed to tell you that you don't know who they are.
Yes.
is the hilarity and that ensues from the laughter from the audience is
overwhelming.
It was unexpected. Yeah. So it was very loud. It was very long. And so it's one of those like 90s sitcoms thing when the unknown character or actor comes in and you have to wait for the audience to stop screaming before you can continue because it's a live, you know, taping. So that's what happens when the door, you know, swings open and there they are looking like, well, like two wrecks.
Yes. I love that. Before we move on, I want to go back just a teeny bit. I'm going to backtrack just a teeny bit. Did you notice that in the entries, she put Xavier or Excelsior's Cleaning in the list?
No.
So she did Excelsior's Cleaning, Yum Yum Market, and Sam Zabaglouni.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really funny because Excelsior's Cleaner starts with an E. And it's just a little joke that she would, you know, put Excelsior's Cleaner under X instead of E. Before we go move on, because this next part is just so funny, we've got to talk about it some more. But that whole phone call with Jenny opens up two jokes that actually return quite a bit. So Ethel's going, "Who are you calling? Who? And Lucy says, "Quiet, you sound like
you sound like an owl."
And that that does come up a few more times. And then there's another one where Lucy goes, "Oh, they didn't. They did.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't.
I love that.
They did." And Ethel goes, "Well, did they or didn't
they? Did they
or
didn't they?"
And you see that a few more times.
And no, in the Ricky knows. Well. And then after that part, she says, "Ricky and Fred called them and looking for dates. They didn't. They did." So they continue. Yeah, they continue the same joke. See, this is the type of stuff you and I find just...
Oh, it's just so funny.
Hilarious. Yeah.
So yes, now they're in... And we were talking about this earlier before we started recording, guys. You didn't miss anything. But that this gets just so physical. And it's so funny. You get a real glimpse into... I mean, there's times where she's like throwing him onto the couch. Which, first of all, even at that time, the idea of a woman throwing a man onto the couch is like...
She grabs him. Very aggressive. It was very aggressive. What I love is that when they are at the door, they're trying to figure out who belongs to whom. And so one's supposed to be a mother, one's supposed to be the daughter. And Ricky says, "This one's yours, Fred," which is Ethel's character, who's supposed to be the mother. She's dressed up as like a granny looking character. And he says, "Oh, no." And then he looks over at Lucy and goes, "This one's yours, too." So he's trying to hand them off
to
Fred. Right, right.
Eunice's voice is the same that she does for the pilot. Did you notice that? For when they're doing the sitcom.
Yeah.
Or not the sitcom, you know, like the semi-vaudeville act. And
the audition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that's kind of interesting. I love when she does that voice.
Yeah, I've seen her do it on it was like a game show where they're supposed to guess who the guests are, and it's Lucy and Desi. And so the people on panel are asking questions of the guests. It's usually a star, celebrity of some kind. And so this says, "Are you on television? Are you an actress?" And so Lucille Ball goes into a different character to kind of throw you off, and she goes, "Mm-hmm," and then she does the same voice that you just referenced. She goes into that same character, so it's she very much goes back to that same, you know.
Yeah, I feel like if you've got something good, you keep it. So there's a lot of running around, throwing things,
throwing men,
Yeah, when I say things, I mean men. And you can see that I don't know if it was age-wise and just the inability to kind of throw Fred around as much, or if it was the fact that they didn't like each other, but there's far less physical affection between Fred and Ethel.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you don't even see it until they turn the tables, really, where the men turn the tables on the women, where... I don't even know that they're actually touching that much, even, you know. Ethel is kind of just leaning over the back of the chair and is more of like a watchdog of him and less of a, you know, a romantic partner towards him.
Right, right, right.
Supposed to be. So they, you know, Lucy asks him, you know, because he makes up this excuse that he has to go to bed because he's got rehearsal in the morning. And she's right. Like, all right, are you an actor type or are you a whatever music type? And he says, I'm a singer type. She's like, okay, see, sing something.
Right.
Like, I love this part. She's like, all right, let's neck.
Because like, no, he does one little strung of the guitar and she thinks that's the end of the song.
Oh, yeah. And he says the name. He says Guadalajara. And she's like, good, let's neck.
Let's neck. She just wants to make out.
Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Tienes el alma de provinciana, hueles a limpia rosa temprana.
That song, Guadalajara, it's one of the mother of all ranchera music, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very well known. It's a difficult song to sing in Spanish just by pronouncing that word alone.
I know, and I struggle with the just saying the name.
And so when he sings it, it's impressive. It's nice. And it must have been, I wonder what it must have been in 1951 for the American household to hear one of the most Latin songs sung on their television screens. Because it wasn't heard as often, you know, or at all, really. And I just wondered what that was like for little, you know, American children to be listening to that for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, what is he saying? Because he did full-on Spanish songs throughout the whole series.
Mm-hmm. This is the first song that he sings technically in the series.
Yeah, right.
And you were mentioning it was a mariachi song.
Ranchera music.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, there you go. Yeah.
Roll those R's.
Considered the mother of ranchera music.
Ranchera
written music. By Pepe Gazar in 1937. And it has that, you know, the I, which he uses from then on out.
Yeah.
Where he's like exasperated or anything.
Right. Yeah.
The I. Mm-hmm. So it's just an interesting song that they show. I do have to mention that just, as you were saying about children, what they thought about this. If they were young, they might have really enjoyed it. Because I was playing some upbeat Spanish music the other day. And, ooh, Apollo just enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
He'd just be, like, going around and then just kind of break dance. And it was really cute and funny.
Yeah, the Spanish language does something to you. Yeah.
It's just so upbeat. And I think that transcends... can transcend through the language barrier. So that helped that he was doing, not all of them, but a lot of them were upbeat music.
Yeah, because throughout the rest of the series, whenever you have a woman that was attracted to Ricky, you know, it was because of his Latin accent, because of his Spanish singing abilities, because of his Latin culture-ness that he just, you know, would show throughout, you know, the show. And so it wasn't hidden or tried to, you know, suppress. It was really brought to the forefront about his Latin culture.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, it's an interesting phenomena, in my opinion, where people are attracted to what they maybe shouldn't at that time be attracted to. And it's the idea of like being attracted to something that's different. And then... So that's okay. But then the idea of them actually settling down with that is not okay. So you see that with, you know, mm-hmm. Lucille Ball, where at that time, I guess it would have been very understandable for her to fall for a swanky, you know, Latino man.
smooth talking.
Yeah, and that's okay. Man. But like to actually settle down with him, then is
don't marry the man.
Different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. and so yeah, the whole ruse comes tumbling down when mm-hmm. they say they want to smoke. So they brought in smoking again, mm-hmm. and Lucy's like, "I know where it is."
She don't worry, like, I'll get him. And and so Ricky looks over to her because she knows exactly where the cigarettes are in the desk drawer, and so that makes the whole, you know, the jig is up. Yeah. And so instead of saying "ha ha, we got you," he calls Fred into the kitchen to say that's Lucy and Ethel. They look through the window, and what's interesting to me is I know you have to use your imagination in these type of sitcoms, but sometimes it's a little far-fetched because they open up these blinds, you know, that separate the kitchen from the living room, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to believe that the girls who are sitting maybe 5 feet away from there can't see them watching them. It's right there, and so they peek through the window, and can see that it's Ethel's side profile.
Yeah, and it wasn't like the girls were doing anything; like if they were deep in conversation or something, then maybe they wouldn't notice, but they were just sitting there. And I feel like I would notice if someone opened a sliding door and go, "Oh, hey," you know, whatever.
And it was so big and wooden. So that's what I'm saying. It's use your imagination, audience. And so then of course the men now turn it around on them and they come out of the kitchen. And now they're the aggressive ones who want to neck and want to, you know, play around with them.
Yeah, they're giving them some warm milk now.
Yes. Oh my god.
Throwing it at them.
I can't,
because that's the Latin style. He said he wants to take it to the Latin style, and I was like, oh
Latin style. Right. Yeah, that's what she says. People. And then what's funny is that they the way they position themselves, they look like I don't know, like two boxers or something, like they're about to, or sumo wrestlers. That kind of looks like that, kind of like sumo wrestlers.
They square up, yeah. Right. and romantic. So then they're like, you know, they run out of the, they're going to run out of the apartment, and Ricky's like, "All right, we'll call again, Lucy."
See you later, Ethel. Right.
And so then they're like, you know what, just to prove that, you know, everything's all right, go get dressed up and we'll go out. Knew in their head they were about to take them to the fights, but the girls didn't. You can tell by how crazy dressed up they got.
They're dressed and up in gowns and furs and yeah, they're ready to go to the nightclubs.
And first of all, I think Ricky is in a tux in those scenes, isn't he?
He's always in a tux.
Well, he does change. When you look at them again at the fight stands, he's changed into something more comfortable, a different suit, which I thought was interesting and maybe should have been a warning sign for the girls. Like, hey,
you're not going to
the nightclub. Right. But this stand scene was actually shot in the studio grandstand.
Oh, yes. Scene. They turned it around. They went and sat in the audience to make it look like they are at the fights audience. And so they're all dressed up to the nines. The girls are. And behind them, they have all these men punching the air, you know, kind of supporting their fellow boxer. And, you know, Lucy looks over at Ethel and says, "Happy anniversary, Ethel." You know,
she just goes, "Thank you, Lucy."
Thank you, Lucy. She sighs. They look so sad. I mean, it's such a bad ending because.
You just feel so bad for them. I would be so disappointed. You know, you always have this, like, where if something, I'm getting up on my soapbox again, but like if you're, you know, expecting something and then you don't get it, it's just sad. If we jump forward, so that's the end of this episode, mm-hmm. but it's interesting to note that this episode will air again during Lucy's maternity leave. It's a rerun, one of the reruns that they do. You know, there's a slight difference where, you know, Ricky and Fred are watching the fights and Ethel changes the channel, So they don't see the end of the boxing match. And Ricky says, that's fine. I'll just go to it live next time. And that's when he's like, ah, but Lucy won't like that. And it fades into the flashback. Yeah.
Yeah. During that maternity time, they did do a lot of flashbacks, which I don't know. I should have looked this up, but are they the first ones that ever did the flashbacks? Because I see sitcoms do that a lot, but I know that they, you know, because Lucille Ball was on maternity leave, they did a few quote unquote flashback episodes, which they sit around and talk about, like when Lucy changes her mind and things like that.
Yeah, but, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to find out. We'll definitely look that up for next time. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be surprising because, I mean, she was the first woman to be pregnant on air, you know, acknowledge that pregnancy, you know, so
definitely acknowledged.
We'll look that up and we will say that. She actually revisits Eunice as well, the character, in 1967 on the Lucy Show, when featuring Tennessee Ernie Ford, who will come to at
Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Yes. But we'll talk about him later. But that is the episode, guys.
This one was fun because, like we said earlier, you really do get a sense of what Lucy and Ricky, or Desi, sorry, are capable.
They're interchangeable.
It's the same. You know what I mean? What they're capable, the comedy they're able to kind of bring across the screen, because you don't really know what you're expecting. Is it just her being funny? Is it just him? Here, I feel like I don't think Fred very much, you know, showed off any comedic style just yet, but the other three certainly did. And Lucy, I mean, with the throwing Ricky around and the running around, kind of like, you ever see the at Disneyland, the Pirates of the Caribbean, where you have the women chasing the men inside, like in circles, you know?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a scene where, you know, they have men or the women chasing after the men in circles. That kind of the same thing reminds me of that little living room scene.
So I think personally that switching them was a good idea. You know, Lucy thinks Ricky's trying to murder her is a really great episode. And we'll dive deep into that.
Right.
When it comes to it, but there just wasn't the huge amount of physical acting. You know, this one, I think there was a very large amount of it, and it played out for a longer time. You know, you get to see a little bit in her death scene where she's willing to throw herself around a little bit, but
but it's not as extensive.
It's not nearly. So I think they made a good call, just showing people, guys, this is what she can do.
Which is why we
can do together.
When we spoke of the pilot, the unaired pilot, the fact that they chose the audition, there was a lot of physical comedy in there, and I think that was done on purpose to really show off her physical comedic style. And you know, some episodes don't even have that. It's more of a, you know, romance and things like that, or maybe just funny lines as opposed to physical comedy. But this one, you know, she transforms her look, costumes, you know, and so I think it was an excellent choice for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys really enjoyed going into this episode. This is the first official episode of the series. It's so exciting. It's a big thing. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at havingaballpod@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Instagram, Having a Ball Pod, or Facebook, Having a Ball Podcast, where we will be posting photos and videos that go along with what we've been talking about. So the episode, you know, I'll show the bloopers or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. What I love is sometimes if we can get some trivia questions, comments, something that we may have missed or forgotten, or that you liked in an email, that's really awesome. Or, you know, just leave a comment on Instagram and we most likely will respond to it. But I love learning new things, because even after all these years, when you start doing research for these episodes, you learn new little tidbits, you know, from the episode, the production, the backstage.
we've said it before and we'll say it again, we're no means experts at this. We're just fans like you guys. And so we are willing and able to admit that we don't know everything, and we'd love to learn more if you guys have something that we missed, or any questions, we'll try to answer those. So tune in next time where we talk about Be a Pal.
Be a Pal.
That is the next episode. And we will meet you back here next week. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.